Hello and welcome to Overvolted. Today we have Jim joining us.
All right, guys.
And we have Matthew.
Hey.
And Aurelian.
Hey.
And I'm your host, Kirk. Today we're actually going to talk about Comic Lake prices and some information that dropped over this past week. And we're going to chat a little bit with Jim and pretty much go from there. So let's go ahead and get this started. Matthew, you wrote this article. Go ahead and lead us off.
Yeah, but did I mishear you or did you say Comic Lake?
That's definitely what this is. This is comedy at its finest.
I've heard Comic Lake. I've heard Comedy Lake. We had the shirt that said
Cometh Lake.
Yeah. We had that a long time ago. That was like when the website launched too.
Yeah. The merchandise shows the cup for me at the moment. But yeah, the Cometh Lake shirt would be ironic to have on there.
That aged very well. That shirt aged extremely well.
That was like a year ago and we were still saying it was late. Yeah. And it is really late now.
So we have leaks for pricing and date. Diagnosis, very bad. We got $500 for 10 cores and about $800 for 8, but you could also get like 8 for 360. Either way, this is worse than Ryzen. So it's about $400 for 8 cores. You could go down to 360 for the locked 10700, but to be honest, that's probably not worth it. Especially, you can even get like a 3800X for less than that, for $340. $300 for a 3700X. And you got, and of course, when comparing to the 10-core 10900 non-K locked CPU, you can get a 3900X for like $450, $440. I would say that the 10900K unlocked is going to be like $550.
Well, Micro Center actually had the 3900X at $399.
Oh, yeah, I
heard just about that. A couple of weeks ago. So it's coming down pretty easily right now. And launching a 10900 locked CPU with only 10 cores for $500 is ridiculous.
This article could probably have done with a table listing all this.
I think. Yeah.
Maybe we'll add that after.
I won't do it. I won't go back and fix it. But in the future, I will do that.
Yeah, it's probably the best idea.
It's just that I hate going off on a tangent here. I don't want to put useless information at a table. I like to keep it concise.
Concise, yeah.
It's like 14 nanometer node. It's like, no, nobody cares about that.
Yeah, everybody knows already.
We don't get paid by the scroll or anything like that, so.
Yeah. Anyways, these prices are pretty bad.
Do we know what the tendency between Canadian versus US market tends to be? Are they usually a little higher?
I think it's usually about 1-to-1, more or less. You know, let's compare.
I've heard some people building machines in Canada, and they're like, oh, if I could only just drive across the border and pick up some equipment.
So a 3700X at $300 USD should be about $420 Canadian. Let's go look on newegg.ca, look up 3700X, and it's $430. So it's a few dollars more. So that's about in line. So it's probably about 1-to-1.
They don't have any special tax or anything that they charge?
I don't know. I don't think they have VAT or anything. I mean, it's only a difference of $10.
So that's not too bad.
Yeah. So this is probably realistic pricing. $500 for 10 cores at the minimum. Maybe $550. I mean, hell, we could even see $600 if Intel wants to do that.
Make a K series for $600?
Yeah. Or KS.
I mean, we've seen them plenty of times in the past, always pricing their stuff, you know, another $50, another $50.
Yeah.
I mean, remember the price creep that everyone was complaining about between the 4,000 up to the 6,000 and 7,000 range?
Yeah.
I mean, by the time they hit 7,700K, they were what, up at launch another $100 from their 4,000 range?
You've got to say they've done actually reasonably well, considering they have managed to raise prices under like severe pressure from AMD, but prices have risen and presumably, well, they are still making a ton of money and they are clearly still selling a lot of these high-end CPUs. I don't know who's buying them, but
nobody's been putting AMDs into business systems, and guess where their bread and butter is?
Yeah, but are these going into business systems, like these really high-end stuff, or is it something a bit lower-end for that?
It's going to be more their i5 range is going to be normally what's going to end up in there, but they do got some i7s, usually the non-K versions.
Yeah.
Especially ones that
65 watts with air quotes around it.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was one of the big things about this, what was it, the 10900X or something, whatever it's called. These numbers are just crazy as well.
The 10900X is a high-end desktop. That's Cascade Lake X.
What's this 10900 that you've written here then?
Well, there's the 10900, the 10900K, and the 10900X.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right, okay. So the K, obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
You know their whole numbering and naming scheme is bad when even a Dord gets confused.
Oh. Yeah.
Honestly, I just cannot follow this anymore. There's just so much of it, and it's all complete garbage, and I just can't follow it.
Have you seen, like, the Ice Lake naming and, like, the KB Lake Refresh naming and Whiskey
Lake? I mean, those are just terrible. What, G7 and whatnot, yeah?
8529U, 8529-30-29U, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers are just getting crazy now. There's no way to follow these and remember all this. It's impossible.
I mean, even AMD is getting a little bit into that territory where they have the 1700 AF. It's like, AF.
Well, that's not an official name. That's a product name.
It's a kind of one-off thing as well. It's not like an entire series full of crazy naming like Intel seems to be doing.
They're not advertising the AF series.
No, they're not, are they? That's the 12 nanometer ones, isn't it?
Yeah, that's 12 nanometers and plus.
What I want to talk about regarding Comet Lake and Intel in general is how they are kind of going nowhere. And in fact, I think they're going backwards. If you look at back to August or September 2015, the 6700K, which was four cores, remember, four cores, eight threads, 2015. And we know what happened since that point. It went 7700K, which was early January 2017. So that was actually quite a long time before the... Normally, these companies are all trying to get a CPU out every single year on the dot. That would be perfect for the OEMs, yeah? Right on the dot. Sometimes they make it. Most of the time, it kind of slips a couple of months. This is quite a big slip for the 7700K. However, if you recall, KB Lake was a new... It was the 14 nanometer plus. Or was it plus KB Lake?
No, plus, I think.
KB Lake was just plus, yeah. So,
I believe so.
So this was probably a little bit held back because of the manufacturing side of things. But then they were actually really quick. And this again, that was January 2017. 8700K was out in October 2017. So very quickly, they'd managed to slap two more cores.
Very short supply, though.
Yeah, it wasn't very short. That's true. Right at the start, it was very difficult to get hold of. For quite a few months, actually. But still, you can see that they're at least maintaining that yearly cadence there. And then, for the ninth generation, 9900K was again October, the year later. So, once again, they've just about stuck to that yearly cadence. But now, with this Comet Lake, they are now, if it had to release this month, which it won't, apparently, it would be 7 months behind this kind of cadence that they were doing up until now. 7 months late, if it launches this month, which it won't, probably looking at 9 months late if it launches in June. And what are they doing? All they have done every single time is slap on another two more cores onto Skylake. That's exactly what they did with the 8700K, the 9900K, and now this next one, the 10900K. Two more cores every time, yet this time it's taken an extra 9 months to do that. And I mean, is it... How has this been so difficult? If you remember, I got a leak a long time ago that said that they were having real power issues at the top end. So maybe they've held everything off, try and fix that as much as possible. And of course, we saw recently, was it WCCF or video cards reported 225 watts or something this was pulling. 225 watts. So yeah, it's had some kind of power issue there, clearly.
And that's a locked part. Locked, low power... Supposedly low power SKU, and it's pulling that much power.
That was supposed to be the 65 watt one, wasn't it? Or something like that.
And if you want some contrast, the 24 core Threadripper, just totally unlocked and open, will pull maybe 280 watts.
Yeah.
And if all you have to do is undervolt it a little bit, and the thing drops dramatically.
Yeah.
And that 280 watts is in Prime 95. This 224, is that going to be in Prime 95 or just running a normal 100% workload?
I can't remember what it was, actually. Maybe one of you pull up WCCF. That's where I saw it, I think. Or
and then Ian Kutcher's saying, like, Comet Lake will top out at, like, over 300 watts. And this was, like, in February or something, where he was talking about, like, it's going to be a lot more than 300.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing's just kind of stupid now, I think. But what else can they do? And, well, Matthew and I had a long discussion on what else they could do just before this podcast started. But to me, it's Comet Lake. It looks like another disaster, basically. It'll be very fast and single-threaded, of course, but, you know, it's more of the same. It's two more cores, even later than usual, and... I mean, literally, who cares about it? It's about all I can say. At those kind of prices, I mean, who gives a damn?
So the power draw was under a system stability test, ADA 64, stress FPU only, not even CPU, just FPU.
Yeah. Was it an AVX512?
It probably was.
It probably was. That would explain the astronomical...
They just have the stress FPU checked. Yeah. That's it. I don't see anything talking about AVX, but I think the FPU does have AVX in that test.
Yeah, it should do. So that would explain it a little bit, at least, but still.
And a while ago, there was a Intel side leak with the 10900K where they said PL2 was 250 watts. So I'm not sure what's going on there. Either they're raising PL2 or they're doing something weird.
This must be a new motherboard as well, surely. A new socket, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
I can't imagine asking your OEMs to make boards that can support 300 watts of continuous power in order that they don't get embarrassed.
Just look at the Threadripper boards. They're just going to duplicate that.
They'll have to.
And how much did those cost again? About $700 or something.
So you can get a really cheap one for like $400 that might be able to handle 280 watt.
And then they can strip out all the other stuff.
I mean, that's the thing. You're actually going to be spending $400+ on the motherboard, probably. Or maybe $300+ is a bit more realistic.
A good motherboard.
Yeah, for a decent one.
Well, you can always attach a chiller to the CPU too, put that on a different circuit breaker.
Yeah, that's a good idea, I think, for this. But, I mean, you know that I did the video recently on, my last video was on how much of a shit show it is within Intel. The very next day, I got this from someone. It said, funny video, but the Intel green badges haven't spent enough time there to really appreciate the giant shit show that company has become. And then it goes on to say, I was at Intel close to 15 years in CPU development before quitting. And I can tell you, the dysfunction in that video is just the tip of the iceberg. The problems in the CPU engineering teams, i.e. the teams that make the vast majority of Intel revenue, will actually destroy the company. And those problems are myriad, deep, and management has zero interest in fixing them. And I name checked this person and it checks out. This was someone who was at Intel for a very long time. And, well, the engineering's just as bad as the marketing side of things and everything else. I'm starting to get really concerned about Intel, as in, will they actually just blow up at one of these times? I mean, I used to work for DEC, D-E-C, Digital Electronics, can't even remember the name now, way back in the 90s. And they were huge, just about as big as Intel, I think, 100,000 plus employees. And they just blew up completely through terrible mismanagement. I mean, I know it's a laugh and I stick it to Intel all the time, but really, if we do end up losing them, they've completely lost their competitive edge. That's already gone, but eventually we could end up losing them altogether because the problems are just so deeply ingrained. And imagine what it must be like being there trying to fix that. And you know how we hear about all the infighting and how there's power struggles going on? It's no wonder, yeah, because everybody must be looking at this massive shit show and saying something needs to be done. We need drastic measures to change this. But the amount of bureaucracy, red tape, it's just preventing anything from getting done, even in engineering. People keep talking about this, the diversity initiatives and stuff like that. I mean, that's not helping, yeah. I'm all for a little bit of diversity in the workforce, but we're talking about Intel here, the world leader, or used to be the world leader in CPU and technology, and they've completely gone to shit, and this diversity thing hasn't helped one bit whatsoever. They need the very best there, and yeah, I think they're in a lot of trouble, an awful lot of trouble. It's going to take years before it pans out, but I mean, if 7 nanometers is as bad as 10, or even if it's just mediocre, I can't see any way back for them. I just cannot see any way back for them at all.
And it's compounded by their goals. They want to be the best in everything. And it's there's no way that can happen. At best, they can become pretty decent in a lot of things or everything. But they're saying, we want to control 30% of the silicon market. And it's that's freaking massive. There's no way you can do that. There's no way you can remain competitive in any single market if you're looking to control the entire thing. That's just too difficult. Their focus is way too broad.
Yeah, I agree with that now. I think they've got way, way too many projects, and you see how many of them get cancelled as well. So, so many projects don't even make it.
They want to integrate all of them as well, which is even, like, so many projects have to be, like, linked up and working together, and it's like, it's just a big freaking mess.
So this is this whole XPU thing, remember, that we talked about, the XPU? I mean, they're trying to, they've got all these new technologies, and they're trying to stick them all into, because they want to sell silicon for an absolute fortune to data center, That's all. That's what it's all about. So just throw everything together and tell the guys at data centers that's what you're getting. One of these days, the guys at a data center.
To me, all this sounds like a lack of direction they have. They don't know where they want to go.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
All of the integration is probably what's killing them. If they would remain as siloed, compartmentalized company pieces, they could probably get a lot done. Because the CEO isn't the one that's telling them how to make chips. They're not micromanaging that bad. They have different groups of people working on different things. Just like AMD has a GPU and a CPU team.
Yeah.
Intel has a whole lot more teams, and they're all fairly siloed, but as soon as you start integrating them all together, now they have to work together, and this letter that you read is just telling you that they're not going to be able to work together very well when they can barely function in their own team. And I think that's where a lot of the downfall is coming from, that inability to integrate.
There's this thing where people keep coming back to us, yeah, but they're massive. You know, they'll be back. They're absolutely massive. But the real question here is, you know, just how thinly spread are these teams? And, like, I mean, who is working on Comet Lake? Whoever is working on Comet Lake, not doing a very good job of it, that's for sure. It could be a team of interns, as far as I know. It's going so badly. Going to be 9 months late.
They just strapped on two extra cores. It very well could be a team of interns.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
They probably already chased off a lot of their good talent.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. And sadly, they are leaking quite a lot of talent from what I've heard. And it's people just leaving. Yeah, people are just sick of it and they're just leaving.
The thing is, Intel is here to stay until somebody can replace them. Because AMD isn't really, at least at the moment, I don't think they're interested in replacing them. AMD's going after these very easy premium segments that are easy to snipe because you need to have the fastest or best thing. And that's very easy to do. It's not like Asus was dependent on Intel to design their best laptop. They designed the G14 and it's really good. People like it. And they worked with AMD on that, true. But it's not like they depend on Intel for that. They depend on Intel for the things that are in very high volume. The things that like make up like the backbone of their business, but that are also lower margin. So Intel has staying power in that.
From what I was told, that it's basically all about market development funds. All the motherboard guys
that too
are basically getting a ton of MDF from Intel. There's no actual profit in the motherboards. The profit they're getting is all coming from Intel's marketing funds. I mean, it's another reason why AMD motherboards, Zen 2 motherboards, were a little bit more expensive because they needed to be in order to make that money back. Yeah, it's a big problem for AMD when Intel can still just throw that kind of money around, and even more and more money, in fact, because that's the thing about them. They just keep on making more and more money through all this stuff, yeah?
That's because they're the default purchase. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But if they weren't the default purchase, I'm not sure if AMD could handle the volume that would come out of that.
Also, Intel would aggressively defend its volume protection. I don't think AMD wants to threaten Intel so badly that they go nuclear. That's why the premium segment is easy to take.
Yeah, AMD's doing a decent job of taking some of that, at least. And as you mentioned, the G14 as well, which is a massive win for them. And you see why the battery life was incredible on that. And it's also very, very quickly. But that's what 7 nanometer gives them. There's no good news anywhere you look at what Intel has. There's nothing good. Nothing. They're getting thrashed absolutely everywhere.
And then Alder Lake coming up next in like 2021. That is 10 nanometer big little design, potentially the same 10 nanometer graphics die that you see in Rocket Lake. And it's like, well, so what? It's like, so what? So what about Alder Lake? Heck, that is not a desktop CPU. That is a laptop CPU that they ported over because they didn't have anything for 2021. That is really what it is. Like, there's no reason why somebody at Intel, even at Intel, would say, let's make a big little die for desktop. Everyone's gonna love that. There's no way. I would not believe that ever.
How else did they get 16 cores though? Yeah.
Yeah. If for marketing, it's nice. I think it, I mean, on laptop, they might be able to make it work. Barely. It depends on how fast these Atom cores are, because Tremont's significantly faster than the previous Atom cores.
Yeah.
And even if it's Tremont in 2021, or even Gracemont, which would be even faster. And if they could get the big.LITTLE design to work, it could work for laptop, but it won't matter for desktop.
No, I mean, they've got nothing they can do there anyway. And this is against 16 cores, of course. And we already know that AMD are going to be going even further with Zen 4.
Zen 4 might be 2021.
Yeah.
And that could be like 32 cores.
Unlikely. Unlikely it'll be 32.
I think they'll do it. Well, I mean, like, unless they redesign the CCX again, they can't get more cores.
They're not really getting the power from 5 nanometers, yeah. It's very dense. They get great density out of it. So the chips or the chiplets are going to be really small. But they're only getting something like, what was it, 25% power or something. The shrink is not providing the kind of power. They won't be able to get that back to fit 32. Certainly not on like a mainstream desktop. If they did, then clock speeds are going to be way, way down anyway.
Architecture. They could fix it in architecture.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they do, obviously.
Imagine if they made a CCD with 2 6-core CCXs.
I think that'd probably be a step back, to be honest. I don't think they'd want to do that. They could do 12. They could do 12-core CCX.
Well, you're talking a full CCD with 12 cores without having CCXs?
I mean, it would still be a CCX. It would be one. But the CCX to CCD ratio would be 1-to-1. I don't think they do 6-core CCX.
Now, what was it in my leak that I got about the Zen 3 stuff? Yeah, obviously we know that they're switching to this 8-core CCX, yeah?
Yes.
With a unified L3, yeah.
But it did come at a latency penalty, yeah? So if you're going to 12 again, you're going to be even more of a latency penalty. But with that said, perhaps not because... Because like I said, 5 nanometers is really dense, so the distance is going to be shorter by that again.
Yeah, that's
so true. Latency could still be down. That's just pure speculation. It could be. You could be right and they go to a 12-core CCX or Zen 4. It would be very interesting if they did that.
I think they'd rather do it in like multiples of 8, though. I think that's how they'd rather do it. Multiples of 4 or 8.
They haven't really shied away from it in the past, though.
Yeah, they did do like the 6-core, and they've done 3-core CPUs as well in the past, so I can't remember what that chip was. Was it a Phenom 2? Phenom 2 720. Black edition, I think, off the top of my head.
Yeah, and they just cut that down to an X3.
Yeah, and X3 it was, you know.
With this, though, they could, if they were worried about the latency of trying to run 12 or 18 or 16 cores all on one CCD, you know, they could just go back to dividing it up into 2 CCXs again on a CCD and have 6 or 8 cores in each. I would think that they would take a half step and actually just do 6 cores in a CCX with 2 per die.
Yeah.
That way you would have the latency advantages of having the smaller CCX, but then have 12 cores per CCD total. So they could end up with 24 instead of 16.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, if they do shrink down to 6 on 5 nanometers, these are going to be absolutely tiny. Can you imagine how manufacturable those are? I mean, the Zen 2 chiplet.
You're still thinking CCDs. I'm saying CCXs in the CCD.
Or you mean like going back to the Zen 2 system of having 2 per CCD?
They could.
They could do that. I don't think so.
I mean, they've got the tech.
Yeah, but maybe.
I mean, yeah, there is advantages, but the advantage to moving to 8 on a unified CCX is being able to have that inner core latency.
Yeah.
But if you're going to a smaller node and thus have pathways that are shorter, that helps with your latency. And you could then work on adding more cores. Because adding 12 cores to a CCX, you're going to be dealing with a lot of distance running for that L3. But if you split it and make it segmented, you have the advantage of being able to only have to worry about 6 cores once again and have really fast intercore latency per CCX.
Yeah. I mean, they could just go with 10 cores as well.
Yeah, they could just simply do 10 core and then you end up with a 20 core desktop CPU.
And that would also be the 20% extra power that they get. They can claw back from the 5 nanometers node as well. 20% more cores, 20% more power. It kind of lines up. I mean, it lines up not bad. It's all just speculation, but there will be more cores.
It doesn't, at this point, it doesn't matter because Intel will still be behind. Like, it's not like Intel is, AMD is like trying to optimize it to like to the percentage point like they were trying with Zen 2. They don't have to make a perfect CPU. I mean, that's crazy. Like when we're talking about AMD, like it's Intel that has to claw its way back.
And yet they don't appear to have any real way of doing it. I mean, the last thing I would want to talk about on this would be, I've written down on my notes, do you believe that Intel 7 nanometers will clock higher than their 14 nanometers?
No, absolutely not. Never.
What about their 10? Was that ever gonna?
Oh, definitely not 10. No. They've given up on 10. They've already said that it's...
No, do you think the 7 will be higher than 10?
I think 7 will be higher than 10 because 10's really far down. I think also 7 will clock more consistently. It'll be able to hold its clock more consistently better than 10. It'll probably be able to clock higher at a lower power than 10 as well. But in terms of maximum, no, I don't think it'll get nearly as high as 14.
I don't think they'll ever get back to 14, the sort of speeds that they're getting now, 5.2, 5.3. That is it. That is, you know, they've tapped out with that.
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't get back to these speeds because they won't stay on the node for as long. That's the only reason we're seeing these speeds right now, is that they've been on this node for what?
So long. Yeah.
7, 8 years almost?
No, it's not been that long.
It's been a long time.
It's been 6 years.
Yeah, it's felt like 8. Telling
you.
Yeah, that has felt... It was supposed to come out in 2013.
Yeah, it was.
And it got to like 2014.
Yeah.
So the benefits of staying on this node for a long time clearly isn't worth it. You lose all the density, you lose all the power efficiency, and both of those, that's really why Intel's hurting right now. Even if the performance was the same with 10 nanometers, I don't think it would be that bad. I think Intel would be very competitive if the clock speeds of 10 nanometers were the same, but the yields were better and the density was better.
I think their clock speeds must be about 20% down, at least 20% down on 14 nanometers.
Yeah.
And remember, they showed that slide where they expected their 10++. Now, we'll try to dig that one up for later.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
They showed that their 10++ would be better than 14+, was it? Or something? Or no, 10+ was supposed to be better than 14++. There's no evidence of that. I didn't see any evidence of that in Ice Lake whatsoever.
No. 10++ is supposed to be Tiger Lake. Do you remember when they renamed all this? So originally, 10 nanometers was Cannon Lake, which used Palm Cove. And then 10 nanometer plus was Ice Lake with Sunny Cove. 10 nanometer plus was supposed to be Tiger Lake with Willow Cove. But what they did was they shifted it back. So now 10 nanometers is Ice Lake and 10 plus is Tiger Lake.
Anitech said that they found Ice Lake was 10 plus. They were given information that Ice Lake was actually 10 plus.
The original 10 plus. But now they've rebranded it, basically.
Right, so there's been more than one 10 pluses. I mean, that we were talking about this earlier as well, how impossible it is to follow this stuff that Intel's doing.
Yeah.
All this plus stuff and all that. I mean, you can't even follow that. You know.
But basically, Cannon Lake is 10 minus.
Right.
Which is fitting, because it was terrible.
Well, it was actually slower than 14 at the same power, and it had half the graphics. So, yeah, that was absolutely awful. But Ice Lake, I'm not really blown away by Ice Lake. We talked about it in another podcast, I think, but if you compare it to the Ryzen 4000 mobile series, Ryzen's double the cores, at this similar kind of power and slightly higher clock speed and faster graphics. I mean, those two nodes are not comparable no matter what Intel tries to tell us. There's no way.
In 2019, Ice Lake was okay because it provided decently fast graphics. It was about as fast as AMD's. But the weird thing is that Tiger Lake isn't fast enough when it comes to the graphics. It might be faster than Renoir by a little bit, but I don't think anyone expected the gap between Renoir and Tiger Lake to be really close. I didn't expect that. I thought Renoir was going to be a lot further behind because Tiger Lake was going to be so much faster. But it's looking like Tiger Lake's not going to be that much faster at all.
I think Renoir's going to be faster.
I don't think it'll be faster.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong in that. But I think Renoir could end up faster. And remember, Renoir is a heavily cut down graphics portion compared to previous AMD graphics. So it's not like they're trying or anything. And it's Vega. Okay, Navi, I mean, if they ever get these graphics sorted out like RDNA 2 onto a laptop, it's going to completely decimate the low to mid range.
The next AMD APU is Vango, which is Zen 3 and RDNA 2. That will destroy Tiger Lake. That's double the cores, more efficient cores, more faster cores, with the graphics we're seeing in the consoles and the upcoming AMD Navi 2X GPUs. So it's going to be a slaughter, I think.
And that's going to absolutely slaughter the mid-range as well. The mid-range laptop market's going to capitulate to that, for sure.
If they want to make Vango big, I don't know how big they'll make it. I have no idea. But if they want to make it big, they could, and it could be very affordable.
Is that 7 nanometers or was that 5 nanometers?
7. You know? It's 7. Okay. Same as Zen. It's just like everything that Intel's trying to do isn't executing well. That's really the main issue. They miss the goals every single time.
We've just talked about this all episode. And, you know, trying to find something. I mean, I thought I was maybe being generous with Rocket League or even slightly realistic in saying it could be a match to Zen 3. Do I truly believe that? I don't know if I truly believe it. That's a wait and see thing. But obviously, I am talking purely single-threaded performance here. And they're going to get annihilated in multi-thread again.
But who cares about single-threaded anymore?
I mean, it still matters somewhat.
I mean, nobody's running a sanitized Windows machine that has all their services disabled and then running a single-threaded, poorly threaded whatever application besides maybe, what, Word 2003?
Yeah.
To be able to get the single-core clocks that is being benchmarked.
Yeah.
They're not going to hit that.
No, they're not.
As soon as you fire up more than two cores, it doesn't even get close to that speed.
Yeah.
And here's something interesting. Hardware in Box tested like the G14 against a comparable Intel laptop. It was like at 720p because they needed to get a CPU bottleneck. And the 4900HS was way ahead of this like high-end 6-core Intel CPU with like really high clock speeds. Like it was significantly ahead. And the 4900HS does not have a very high clock speed. It is, I think it might even be lower than the 4800HS, at least for base. So it's like...
But it's just able to hold its boost because it's the 7 nanometers that can basically hold better boosts, you know?
Maybe. It might be about that, but...
That must be that.
Even in, like, the older games, like GTA 5, the 4900HS was really far ahead.
Yeah, I did catch that one.
Even in these older games, the more cores are mattering less than more single thread. Like the 4900HS, if single thread is all that mattered, this should have been a tie, at least. If not Intel winning.
So while we're on the topic of node sizes, there was a question for you, Jim. Do you think there'll ever be a high-performance semiconductor company on GloFo, FDX22 or FDX12?
I mean, it depends really on what you are counting as high performance, I guess. But I would say no, for the simple reason that TSMC 7 is so good. And I don't think it's that expensive anymore. I mean, sure, you're going to get cheaper, a lot cheaper at GlobalFoundries, the 12 especially, or rather the 12 and the 22. And they are pretty good nodes. I think it's more suitable for low power though, rather than high performance. Although it is still a high performance node. I wouldn't think we will see anything on those. Apart from maybe IO dies or something like that, maybe out of GlobalFoundries by AMD. But I wouldn't even put money on that, to be honest. I don't think so.
You got to think, it's crazy to think right now though, but 7 nanometer is pretty much at the end of its initial life.
Yeah.
If you think about it, they are churning out 5 nanometer parts right now in preparation for fall. So 7 nanometer is on its way out. It's going to become the mainstream like 14 nanometer at Intel.
Yeah, it feels like we've just really started, but it's been around for a very long time, 7. And now they're talking about throwing out some pretty large dies. Now, obviously, we're expecting RDNA2, Big Navi. That should be a pretty large die. So we're at that point now where it is cheap enough. And obviously, it's a fantastically, the node itself is really mature and it's just a fantastic node in everything, characteristics and yield especially. The yields were incredible, like 0.06 or something like that, defects. So yeah, it's not too expensive and there's practically no reason to not be on that one compared to anything else, if you're after high performance.
There's also 12 nanometer plus for GlobalFoundries, and that compared to 12 nanometer normal, apparently it's quite a bit better. Like almost 7 nanometer TSMC good. So, I mean, for 12 plus, we might see something.
Yeah, there's a chance, I guess. I wasn't actually aware of that one, 12 plus.
Yeah, that's been rumored. Well, not rumored, but it's been kind of in the news.
I'll have a look at that later then. Have a little read up on that, see what that's all about.
All right, and to exit the podcast, Aurelian has a little bit of a game he wants to do to help our viewers get to know us a little better.
Oh no, I'm getting nervous about this one. What kind of questions am I going to be getting asked here?
What is your social security number?
Yeah, so let's play a little game.
I reserve the right to take the fifth on any of these questions.
Well, you're not an American citizen, buddy.
You don't have to answer truthfully. How about that?
Yeah.
If it's too embarrassing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so let's go with, if you only tell me to take the top ones, let's go with this. So assume that you have, you don't have enough budget for a fast system, so you have to compromise somewhere. Would you compromise on a GPU side or on a CPU side in a system?
I think that you would get away with a quad-core 8-thread Zen 2, which doesn't really exist yet. So I would go for something like that and a slightly faster GPU, sorry, rather than bothering with maybe the 8-core or certainly not a 16-core CPU. I wouldn't do that. I would maximum of 8, 16 threads. Of course, there's not a massive difference in the money there, I guess, either. Yeah, I would go with, you know, most of us would just go with one of the Ryzen 5s, you know, 6 cores, 12 threads, yeah, and RTX 2070, something like that. It's what I would do.
That's my answer.
All right, let's go another one.
Well, I have a different answer.
Kirk, sorry.
Yeah, I would definitely go CPU all the way. I would downsize myself to like a 2060 level. Yeah, probably nothing lower than that, but probably a 2060 is about where I would cut it. It's a good inflection point for the cost of GPUs, and I use my CPU way more than my GPU even right now.
I would agree with that. I wouldn't want to go lower than an RTX 2060 or a... I guess maybe a 5600 XT would be a pretty decent point to start with graphics. And that's me playing something like World of Warcraft mostly. Baldur's Gate 2, which I am replaying again. And a bit of Warhammer. I guess Warhammer 2, Total War Warhammer 2 is a little bit more harder on the graphics. I mean, I don't really need any great graphics for the games that I'm playing, but I would just take it. And another thing is, of course, I said an RTX 2070, but I would probably just have to go with an AMD card just for radio and chill, because it's way more important to have like the quiet and the cool. This is a small studio I've got.
Oh yeah, quiet system.
Yeah, quiet system, cool running.
And you'd get some better FPS out of it if it's not rendering like the whole scene that it, you know how chill works. So
yeah,
it's pretty nice to have that extra feature. So maybe the 5600 XT, or like you said, the 5700 or the 5700 XT would be a really good sweet spot.
Yeah,
I would pick it more for the inflection point and find something in that budget range just to be able to get those extra two cores on the CPU. It would make a lot of difference in what I use my computer for, because I do a lot more processing than gaming at this point.
So let's move on. Let's just answer shortly the following ones. Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Dogs.
Jim.
Yes, he's over cats. Here with a cat.
I've got a cat now, yeah. A little cat, and she's absolutely amazing. She's just fantastic. She's more like a dog, though. That's the thing, because she's a ragdoll breed, and people say they're just like dogs. She's got zero grace whatsoever. She's got no agility. And Jenny picks her up and carries her around like a baby.
You get a pass then.
But they're very large cats. She's already the size of like a... She's like the size of a wild cat. A little white wild cat, and she's only 9 months old. Previous to owning her, though, I only ever had dogs. So I cannot choose. I need to say I am a cat and a dog person, I would say.
Yeah, okay. That's valid answer.
Centrist.
I take it. It's acceptable. Okay, Pepsi or Coke?
Pepsi. Coke.
God. Kirk, please.
Coke.
Oh, thank God.
Okay. Coca-Cola tastes like vegetables. Don't you think it just tastes
wait,
like
what?
Vegetables?
How do they make it in Sweden?
Wow, you must have very tasty vegetables over there.
I'm picking the brand as a whole. Like, I like Coke products in general over the Pepsi equivalents.
Right.
Okay.
I would normally drink Sprite or 7-Up, so I guess those are Coca-Cola company, aren't they, as well?
No, 7-Up is the Pepsi.
Well, Sierra Mist is the...
Oh, right, 7-Up's Pepsi. Yeah, so I do prefer Pepsi then. I prefer Pepsi-Cola and I prefer 7-Up to Sprite, so okay.
And I prefer the Sprite over 7-Up or Sierra
I'm
Mist,
in the Pepsi camp. I've got one of those kind of... I'm one of those people with really bad or strange taste buds, though. I mean, I love broccoli more than anything, and...
Only if you put cheddar on it.
I cannot drink beer or lager. I simply do not like the taste of it.
That leads me perfectly in the next question. Wine or scotch?
Wine.
Oh, well, I'm not old enough yet, so.
I'll pick neither because I'm much more of a stimulant rather than a depressant kind of person. So I do energy drinks instead of drunken drinks.
Would you rather be without internet for a week or without your phone for a week?
Without my phone.
Without the phone, yeah.
Yeah,
you can simulate that on the internet.
Yeah.
Would you rather time travel to the past or to the future?
Future.
Past.
Future.
God.
Okay.
I'm going to have to resign.
It's technically the only time travel that we know we can do, so...
No, but assuming you can, you have a time machine. Would you go to the future or into the past?
Still the future.
Yeah, future.
Past? I would go to the past also.
Because it's predictable.
I love history, but I simply would not be able to say no to see what was coming next. I just wouldn't be able to turn that down.
Yeah, well, oh. I would go. Uh-huh.
Well, I just thought of one problem. Talking to people. It's sort of different. I don't know if they'd be able to understand. They definitely wouldn't be able to say modern English, depending on how far back you go. I think I could. I'm taking French right now.
Jim could just go to Scotland and he'd be fine.
I could do what? Sorry, Kirk? Say that again?
You could just go to Scotland and you'd be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, don't understand what anybody's saying there anyway. We all understand each other, but that's about it.
They would be confused because, like, they know he sounds Scottish, but they can't understand a word he says.
Let's go for the next one. Now, this is a bit kind of an extension of your last video, Jim.
Yeah.
So, would you rather work as a normal employee for NVIDIA or for Intel?
Intel. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you could probably do better there, or...
I mean, I've had some limited experience with NVIDIA people, and it's all been bad. It has all been really, really bad. I mean, I'm talking to a lot of Intel guys. I've got guys leaking me stuff all the time. They're all absolutely brilliant, yeah? The contact I've had with people inside NVIDIA is a little bit kind of nasty and edgy. They mostly ignore me completely, but I've had contact with one or two who are just a little bit nasty and edgy. Yeah. I mean, that doesn't mean that everybody's like that there, but I can't help but wonder.
I'd work at NVIDIA.
I'd probably pick Intel too.
Intel, yeah.
But don't you guys want to win?
That'd be me more wanting to affect change or do some of the really cool stuff that they can have the potential to do, but currently aren't.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay. Kind of similar question, but now from a slightly different viewpoint. If you could be the CEO of NVIDIA or Intel, of which one would you be?
NVIDIA.
Of which one? So, NVIDIA.
NVIDIA, okay. For sure.
Yes, same.
A lot easier job to be had there.
Much easier job to be had there. And they're a company that is actually looks like they maybe survive the next 10 years. I'm not convinced Intel is.
Well, and then more winning.
And that's where I would pick Intel, because you can be the person that manages to save that company and not let it change. Run into the ground.
Yeah. I was asked a comment on Twitter about something, and I said, you know, I'm behind Bob Swan's efforts to change the Intel company culture around. But this is not a job that one man can do. And I think you'd just be dying inside.
No, this is something he needs to... Yeah, he needs to hire the proper people under him who will spearhead that movement and make sure that they clean up all the way down to the contractors even.
What a massive task that is, though. I mean, that is an absolutely mammoth task. 110,000 employees.
If I was any kind of operational officer or anything like that, and I heard that basically half my employees were twiddling their thumbs and watching YouTube, there's a huge culture change that would have to happen.
Yeah.
All right. So if you allow me the last one on this kind of same kind of similar thing. Mm-hmm. So like with the CEO, but would you rather be head of RTG or head of AMD's CPU department?
CPUs.
I mean, where do you think you can improve more?
I would be the head of the AMD CPUs and then annex RTG. Make AMD whole again.
I would go for RTG in this case, as they are by far the bigger challenge there. And I think they're the ones that need the more.
Yeah, I'd do the same for the same reason. Yeah, they're the ones that need the fans, the people that want to make them succeed, I guess.
I mean, David Wang there could be doing a great job. Very, very quiet. We don't hear an awful lot about him anymore. Yeah, there's not a great deal coming out of RTG. They just seem to be getting their head down and doing stuff. And obviously, we already know that RDNA 2 is going to be absolutely great. So I don't know how much of this you can say is Wang's baby, yeah? But he seems to be delivering something at least rather quickly.
Sometimes no news is actually good news.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. In the case of RDNA 2, it is definitely good news. I mean, once they've got massive problems elsewhere, though. They've got serious problems with the image, obviously, the driver side of things, which I slammed them for, and they've got other issues. NVIDIA is such a fierce competitor. They are so fierce and they take no prisoners whatsoever. That would be a scary job to take on, would be the CEO or the leader of Radeon Technologies Group. Whereas it looks like the CPU guys have got a much easier task in front of them.
It just makes me sad choosing the CPU division, because that means I'm going to have to annex you guys.
All right, two more, let's say. Mm-hmm. Let's see. PS5 or Xbox X? Which one?
PC.
I will probably get the PlayStation 5.
How about Kirk?
I like the games on the PlayStation 5. You know, I'm more of a RPG fan.
Yeah, same.
So the PlayStation 5 appeals more to me. But I'm also, like, if I had to pick a game to play for the rest of my life, it would probably end up being more of a racing game. So I kind of, I'm leaning towards Xbox in that they have a larger selection of racing games, if you don't count Gran Turismo.
All right. And the last one I have, desktop or laptop?
Desktop every day of the week.
Yeah, desktop.
I kind of hate desktops right now, so I think I'm going to go for laptop.
All right.
It would be rather hard to carry around my assortment of screens in a laptop, so.
Here's the thing. My G14 is allegedly coming this week, or probably not. It will come at some point, and the CPU in that's going to be faster than my 3600, which is overclocked.
Yeah, true.
And I'm still using a Vega 56. So that 2060 Max Q probably isn't going to be that much slower either.
Yeah, it'll be pretty similar performance level, I guess.
Yeah, because Vega sucks.
I just don't like, honestly, laptops, crappy keyboards, mediocre screens. It's just not enough screen real estate. I just don't like them. I just don't like laptops.
Yeah, but I like small things and portable things. For me, it was I was debating between building a mini ITX PC or getting a new laptop, a new laptop one.
I would end up having to build out a NAS, a second NAS, let me clarify, and a processing server and all sorts of stuff just to settle myself onto a laptop instead of a desktop. So I'm just going to stick with desktop. I got too much compute needs, too many storage needs. The GPU is the last consideration.
All right, but that concluded my list of questions for this episode.
That was pretty good, actually, then, because this could work, I think, because some interesting questions there, and it's interesting to see how we differ in our answers as well. So this is probably something that we could have in most episodes, so long as you're not under too much pressure to find unique and interesting questions every weekend.
Well, at least they were tech questions rather than what's your favorite ice cream. So there is that.
We needed to collaborate more because people are going to think Jim and I hate each other. Like he's Pepsi and I'm Coke. I mean, like, can we reconcile that?
I'm not. Who would have been surprised by that? Yeah.
Maybe that's why it sounds like you guys don't collaborate much or are not as good of friends as people would think, you know?
I love reading the comments.
To be honest with you, I feel that there's a right and a wrong answer, yeah? And Pepsi is the correct answer.
Whoa, okay. I didn't even say that. I didn't even go that far, Jim.
Yeah, that's how I feel about that one.
Okay, I quit.
Yeah, well, thank you guys for joining us and having this wonderful discussion. We will circle back and see what news comes out in the next week and have another one next week. So thank you guys for joining us and have a good evening.
See you later, guys.